present Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler in The Men from the Ministry, a weekly tribute to the men of our government service, men who are often compared to bungalows, square, detached, and not much up top. Our attention, as always, is focused on the General Assistance Department in Whitehall. Here we find that keen young executive, Richard Lamb, not quite his usual cheerful self.
Why, I'm fed up, Mildred, fed up. And you know why? Because nobody pays any attention to what I say, that's why. Nobody ever listens to me. Mildred.
What was that, Mr. Lamb?
No use. I'll never be another Cyril Broadbottom.
Cyril Broadbottom? Well, with a name like that, I should think one's enough.
He wrote this book I'm reading. It's all about developing the memory, training the mind to remember things.
Well, where'd you get it?
I found it in a railway carriage. Somebody must have forgotten it.
Oh, fancy.
I've been memorizing the railway timetable for practice. I'm on page 33 already.
Well, a fat lot of good that'll do you. Who's likely to ask you questions about that?
Morning, Tour. Don't suppose you happen to know the trains to Cromer, do you?
Yes, one.
Oh, I thought not. Mildred, look it up, will you, and see...
Pardon?
The first one's 832, platform one, diesel locomotive, restaurant car, seven coaches, including three non-smokers and a guard's van.
Oh. What colour are the driver's socks?
They're a sort of... Oh, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Yes, well, that's quite enough of this nonsense. Now, look up the right trains, will you, please, Mildred?
Yes, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Nobody ever listens to me. I told you, 832, platform 1.
I've got it, sir.
Read it out then, Mildred.
The first one's 97, platform 4.
Oh.
Well, what's that you've thrown in the waste paper basket, too?
Just a book, one. What's all this about Cromer?
Ah, well, we may well be going up to Norfolk, too, to supervise the administrative side of the Anglo-American space shop.
Really? Where did you hear this?
Oh, from our usual reliable source.
How that man manages to know so much and work the lift, I'll never know. General Assistance Department?
It's in here.
Oh, it's him. Mr. Secretary. What? I mean, the permanent under Gregory.
Don't get a lamb. Let me talk to the one with the brains.
I'm afraid she's out making the tea.
Give it here, too.
Hello, Sir Gregory. Hello. How nice to hear
you. You and Lamb are going up to Norfolk, Lennox Brown.
Oh, really? Well, Norfolk. Yes, what a surprise.
The Ministry of Technology are overloaded and they've passed the job over to us.
Ministry of Technology? Ah, yes, that's a new department, isn't it?
Exactly. They haven't had time to get overstaffed yet. So, you're to look after the administrative side of Friday's space shot. Now, it's an important job, Lennox Brown, and I want no bungling, understand?
Oh, well, now, come, Sir Gregory, please. I mean, have we ever let you down?
Many times, Lennox Brown. Many, many times.
Yes, well, I hardly think that...
Many times. Many times.
I think he's beginning to crack, too. Well, come along, too. We've got to get up there and meet the man in charge.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Short.
Oh, like a chap. Mine's rather long, I'm afraid. Lennox Brown. Oh, and this is my number two here, Lamb?
The name is Short. Commander Jason T. Short.
Really? Yes.
I was transferred here from our tracking station in Bermuda.
Ah, one of the Bermuda Shorts.
Well, now, tell me, how do you like it here, Commander? What do you think of our Norfolk Broads?
Well, they're ready, willing, and able, I'll say that. I've had to make an order that after station dances, all female visitors are to be off camp within 48 hours.
Odd business. Yes, well, so this is the control room, eh? It's here that you supervise the launching of your artificial spotlight, or whatever it is.
Satellite.
Oh, satellite, yes.
Do I understand you two are the British government's experts on rockets?
Well, I wouldn't go as far as to say expert.
Oh, no. Just a general working knowledge, no? Yes. This launcher, for instance. Where does the blue touch paper go?
The blue... We gave up that method of launching, Mr. Lennox Brown. We found it hard to get large enough milk bottles.
Yes. Oh, I dare say you would, because, I mean, now... Yes, well, there's no need to be sarcastic, Commander. Let me remind you, you know, this project is Anglo-American.
Oh, my word, yes.
Yes, don't forget the British contribution.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes, we're not without our own technical triumphs, you know. We're in the space race, too, Andre. Yes. By the way, perhaps you could remind me, just what is our contribution?
It's right here, on the plan of the capsule. See this little hook for the astronauts to hang up their space helmets?
Good grief. You mean that hook is the only thing that's British?
No.
Oh, good. Yeah.
The hook's American, but it's fastened with a British nut.
Oh. I say, too. Sure, did you hear that?
I'm sorry, I was over there looking at the model.
The commander says all Britain has provided for this rocket is one small nut.
You mean one of our chaps has agreed to go up in it?
Oh, two, don't talk like an idiot, please. Leave it to me.
Over here is the ground control instrument panel. We run the entire flight from here. Booster separation button, altitude control knob, reverse thrust lever.
Oh, I say, isn't this exciting? What happens if I pull this out?
Nothing much. It's an ashtray.
Well. And all this has been provided by your American Army fellows, eh?
Oh, I don't work for the Army, Mr. Lennox Brown. I work for NASA.
NASA? Good heavens, is he putting up rockets now?
National Aeronautics and Space Administration, Mr. Lamb.
Oh,
NASA. It's rather like your European Launcher Development Organization. ELDO.
Oh, well, it's no use explaining to him. He can't tell his NASA from his ELDO.
Tell me, when are you planning to start the thing? You know, turn the ignition key or whatever you do.
Blast off.
No need to be uncivil. Only asking.
Blast off is tomorrow afternoon.
All right.
The two astronauts will be launched into orbit at 1,400 hours.
By Jove, that's in the afternoon, isn't it?
Yes. Now perhaps you gentlemen would like to come and meet the astronauts.
Oh, thank you.
Polofsky, Johnson, I'd like you to meet the men from the ministry. Lennox Brown, Lamb.
Hi there.
Hello.
How do you do?
As you know, gentlemen, Polofsky and Johnson will be shot into outer space tomorrow on top of a 500-ton rocket. Now, these men are carefully chosen for the most dangerous and demanding job in the world.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. Of course, our job's not that it's dangerous, you know. Oh, is it, too?
Oh, I should say not one. Only last year I got my thumb trapped in a paperclip.
Oh, that's tough. Yes, I do know. One day my secretary slipped and poured scalding hot tea in my lap. I could show you the scar if I... Yes, well, on second thought, sir, you show him the scar from your paperclip, too.
Yeah, well, there it is, just below the nail. Oh, I was off sick for a week.
Gosh, you sure got a dangerous job.
That'll be enough, Johnson. And there are any questions you'd like to ask, gentlemen?
Well, there is one thing I've often wondered about. Tell me... When you're up there all sealed up in your spacesuits,
yeah.
Strapped in, unable to get out of the capsule, well, what do you do when you want to, when you feel like, well, you know.
No. Yes, that's often puzzled me. How do you eat?
Oh, yeah. Well, we use these tubes of food, see, made in the States. We squeeze them like salt.
Really? I suppose they don't contain any artificial coloring or flavoring, contrary to the Pure Foods and Drugs Acts of 1956, do they?
I don't really know.
Don't know? Well, dear me, I mean, we'll have to look into this, make a note of that, too, will we?
Yes, but, and what about an import license? They are foodstuffs.
Ah, good point, too. Mm.
Yes.
And these two astronauts, have they got a work permit?
Well, I... Look, let me show you the space capsule itself, gentlemen. It's on the launching pad. I'm sure you'll find it very interesting. Here we are, gentlemen, 200 feet above the ground. And this is the capsule, Vulcan 7.
How absolutely magnificent.
Thank you. We are rather proud of it.
Magnificent view, I mean.
Yes.
From up here. Marvelous, isn't it, too? I mean, look down there.
Oh,
yeah, well, this capsule weighs 2 tons and contains 5,000 intricate mechanical systems.
You know, I do believe you can see the church clock in Lower Bumstead. Yes, what time is it?
It's time we went down again.
It's crammed tight with the latest science.
Ah, there's a train. My word, look at that. Oh, it's just like a toy. Even a couple of puffs of smoke. Well,
Mr. Lennox Brown, I didn't come up here to stand looking at a couple of puffs.
I beg your pardon.
Let's go back down again, Mother. I can't stand heights.
Steady on. We better have a look at this space thing while we're here.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, my word. There's not a lot of room inside, is there?
We're not going to hold a dance in there, you know. It's basically a place to work in.
A place of work, eh? Ah, well, in that case, why aren't you exhibiting a copy of the Shops, Offices, and Factories Act, eh? On the wall.
It won't be here that long. I mean, it's a space vehicle, not a...
As a vehicle? Ah, is it taxed and insured?
What? Well, you need number plates, too, my dear chap. I mean, Ministry of Transport regulations, you know. Flashing indicators, a parking light.
Any more weight on this and it'll sink like a stone when it splashes down.
Splashes down? In the sea?
Have you registered it at the shipping office? You will need a D473 lifebelt inspection certificate, a Q915, customs and excise.
Hold on. We're blasting off tomorrow.
Oh, out of the question, my dear fellow. No. Got to get the administrative side sorted out before you can wind it up, you know, or whatever you do.
It shouldn't take more than, 3 weeks, would you say, Bunce?
3 weeks?
Oh, don't be silly, too. 3 weeks and then, dear. More like 3 months. Well, I mean, you know what old Rudge is like. Now he's back at the Board of Trade. Spends half his time tuning his hearing aid to take up police calls.
Ridiculous. Now, wait a minute. We're scheduled to launch tomorrow, and nothing, but nothing, is going to stop us.
Yes, well, we'll see about that, Commander. Oh, my word, yes. We'll send a full report of all these irregularities to Sir Gregory Pitkin.
Bernard, I'm all alone in the office. Noddy's gone up to Norfolk and taken Big Ears with him. No, I'm just sitting here watching the pigeons on the windowsill. Oh, hey, I've got to hang up now, Bernard. I can hear someone coming. Ta-da, love.
Ah, Miss Murphy. You busy?
Oh, Sir Gregory. I was just typing some reports, sir.
With the cover still on your machine?
Yes. They're confidential reports, sir. And luckily, I'm a touch typist.
Now, listen. Have you heard from Lennox, Brown, and Lamb since they went up to Cape Harold yesterday?
Oh, yes. Just a postcard, sir, from Biggie. Mr. Lamb. Having a wonderful. I don't know what he was having that was wonderful because there's a blot over it.
Well, I've had an astonishing communication from Lennox, Brown. Tell me, was he behaving normally when he left here?
Oh, yes. I distinctly remember him lying on the floor with a waste paper basket on his head.
What?
Well, if he tripped on that loose bit of lino, see, he always does.
They've sent me a fookling report on this Anglo-American space shot, full of pettifogging quibbles about regulations. They want me to prevent the launching.
Oh.
Yes. Well, I believe in wholehearted, enthusiastic cooperation with these Americans.
Me too.
Yes. Anyway, you can take down my reply. My own secretary's away having another of her nervous breakdowns.
Yes, sir.
I'd better make it a telegram. The space shot's this afternoon, and we don't want them interfering. Now begin. Read your report. Stop. American astronauts going up this afternoon, and that's final. Stop.
Got it, sir.
Rocket taking off at all costs. I sign it, Pitkin, and get that sent off to Lennox Brown straight away, Miss Murphy.
But just look at this telegram from Sir Gregory, too. He absolutely agrees with us.
What does he say?
Read your report. Stop American astronauts going up this afternoon, and that's fine. Stop rocket taking off at all costs.
I knew he wouldn't allow the regulations to be flouted.
Yes, quite so. The only trouble is, too, I mean, how are we going to stop it taking off, you see? I mean, the commander's posted a guard on his door and refuses to see us.
I know. Last time I tried to speak to him, he called me a limey carpetbagger.
Oh.
Well, as far as I know, I've never bagged a carpet in my life.
No, I'm sure. Well, Sir Gregory's instructions are quite clear, you see. I mean, direct action is called for, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
I know what we'll do. Now, you can take my word for it, too. That rocket will never be launched.
Five, four, three, two, one, lift off. There she goes. Check stability of launch vehicle. Check flight path. All systems go. Looks like a good one, boys. Okay, establish contact with the capsule. Control to capsule. Come in, Pulaski and Johnson. Come in, Pilotsky and Johnson.
We are in command.
Standing right behind you, sir.
Pilotsky. Johnson.
Some nuts locked us in the jam. Yes. We only just managed to break out.
But I saw your truck drive out to the rocket. If you're here, who's up there?
Switch on the capsule's automatic radio transmitter.
I see from the viewing
wall. It's probably an earth tremor, too. I believe they get them in Norfolk.
Oh, no! Control calling capsule. What the hell are you two doing in there?
Ah, Commander. Now, in our official capacity, we've removed the British contribution to this thingamajig. They can't take off now. They'll have nowhere to hang their space helmets.
Yes. Give us time. We've locked your two astronauts in the little boy's room.
Why, you dunderheaded, interfering, nitwitted, half-baked, idiotic, bird-brained, crazy, irresponsible, asinine,
stupid,
nincompoops.
I say, buddy, sounds just like Sir Gregory, doesn't it?
Now hear this. You have been blasted into orbit. You are traveling at 17,500 miles per hour at a height of 160 miles.
Two?
Yes, huh?
We've made a bit of a boo-boo, too.
Do not touch the door. Do not touch any of the instruments. We will control the capsule from the ground.
I say it's not good enough, Commander. I insist that you put this thing into reverse and bring us back.
Can't be done. You'll have to stay up there while we work out the coordinates for re-entry. Over and out.
But they can't leave us up here. Good heavens, my bowler hat, it's floating.
Oh. Well, so are you two. Yes, well, we're weightless. Yes, well, grab hold of something. No. Grab hold of something else. No, your brolly won't hold you down.
I can't even tell which way up I am.
Well, two, either you're upside down or your face is spilled out a lot.
What will Sir Gregory say when he hears about this? You know what he does when things go wrong.
Ah, but this time there's a difference, too. This time we're the ones who are at a great height.
Control calling capsule. Control calling capsule.
Ah, yes, it's about time. Ah, capsule here. Ah, yes, and this is Lennox Brown speaking to you. Yes, when are you going to bring us down, eh? Eh?
We've got your Sir Gregory Pitkin here.
Yes, well, no hurry at all.
No, it's quite nice up here, really. Yeah. Yeah.
He wants to speak to you. I'll put him on.
Yeah, still, we were acting on his orders, man. I mean, we couldn't have misunderstood them, could we?
Pitkin here, you blundering, incompetent fools.
It's possible we may have done, too. Yeah. Hello, Sir Gregory. How very nice.
How in heaven's name you contrived to misunderstand my telegram, I'll never know. By the gods, Lennox Brown, I'll have something to say to you when you get down. If you get down.
Well, we just did. If? Well, you are bringing us down, aren't you?
Eventually, Lennox Brown. It cost £2 million to put that capsule up there.
You can have it back. Stop it out of my wages each week. 7 and 6, 10 shillings if
no,
you like.
No, Lamb, no. The commander and I have decided to make the best of a bad job. You two are to go ahead with a planned series of experiments.
Experiments?
Yes. The commander wasn't keen, but I insisted you be given the chance to die for England. It was the least I could do.
Very kind of you, Sir Gregory.
No need for thanks, Lennox Brown. Better put on those spacesuits in the locker. I'll hand you back to the commander for details. Oh, don't go away, will you?
And here is the news read by John Curl. The Prime Minister announced in the House today that two British astronauts have been successfully launched into orbit. That these brave men were so ready to risk their lives and leave this earth behind, he said, is clearly due to the policies of this thrustful government. In answer to a question from the opposition, he denied that the two astronauts had been allowed to take more than the statutory £50 foreign travel allowance. The tracking station at Jodrell Bank reports they're receiving clear signals from the Anglo-American capsule. These were described by Sir Bernard Lovell as rather like the chattering of teeth accompanied by a faint moaning. A series of difficult and dangerous tests will be attempted during the flight, said a leading American authority on space research, Dr. Heinrich von Dusseldorf, speaking through an interpreter.
Oh, I must say, when this space helmet's a bit awkward, I can't get it on properly.
Yes, I see. Perhaps it wasn't intended to be worn over a bowler hat.
Oh, silly me.
Pull yourself together, too. Oh,
I don't like it up here, one. It's weird. Look how clearly you can see the moon through this porthole. All waxy and yellow and pitted with craters. It's indescribably ugly.
That's the reflection of your face, too. The moon's this side.
Oh, well, look at the stars. I've always been interested in them. I'm a Virgo, you know.
It doesn't surprise me.
Oh, I should have taken notice of my horoscope. Today you will rise to the occasion and move in unusual circles.
Yes. Well, anyway, now we're here. I mean, we've got to carry out these instructions the commander's given us. Let's have a look now. Item one. Oh, our first meal in space.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We have to squeeze the food from these tubes straight into our mouth.
That's it.
I've already tried one of them. Not very tasty.
I see. Oh, well, not very nutritional either. That one's toothpaste.
Yeah.
Never mind. You'll just have to clean your teeth with this tube of steak and kidney.
I don't feel very hungry. What's the next item?
One of us has to climb out of the hatch and do a spacewalk.
One of us?
Yeah. Splendid exercise, too. And then have a nice, brisk spacewalk, you know. Put a bit of color in your cheeks.
Why should it always be me? Look, I tell you what. Let's toss a coin for it.
All right.
I've got one here. Now, heads you go out, yeah. Tails I do. Here goes.
It's a long time coming down, isn't it?
I forgot. No gravity.
Ah, oh, well, never mind. I can see from here that it would have come down tails.
Yes.
Off you go. There's a good chap. Make sure you've got everything.
Oh, if I must. Now, let's see. Lifeline firmly attached to my waist. That's all right.
Even better if you tied the other end of it to something.
Oh, yes. I'll tie it to my leg.
Oh, no, no. Look, no, give it here. Now, don't forget, there's a vacuum outside.
But you mean you want me to clean the rocket?
No, I'm telling you to shut your faceplate.
There's no need to take it. Oh, the helmet.
Yes.
Ah, I see what you mean.
Yes, exactly. Now, switch over to your helmet radio while I open the hatch.
All right. I'll give you a hand.
Wait a minute. What? You're closing it. No. Leave it. Look, I can manage it. There we are. Right, now. Out you go.
No need to push. All right. Oh. I'm out.
What can you see?
I'm looking down and I say that two enormous silver things down there. Unidentified flying objects.
Two. Those are your feet.
Oh, so they are. Anyway, I can see the Earth. There's England on the left. Do you think I ought to wave my brolly?
Your brolly? Well, what did you take that out there for?
Well, the forecast said showers.
Oh. Get on with it, too. Get on with it. The commander wants a spacewalk, so start walking.
Oh,
I'll let you come in again when you've walked as far as Australia.
And here is the news read by John Curl. It's been revealed that two Whitehall civil servants, Richard Lamb and Derek Lennox Brown, are Britain's first astronauts. It's understood the two American astronauts were also prepared for the project, but at the moment of launching, they were merely kept standing by in lieu. Apparently, they were officially engaged at the time. The reason for not using them was given as inconvenience. A mid-Atlantic area has been designated for the astronauts' return. Sir Gregory Pitkin says he is confident they will land right in it. He is personally going out on board the aircraft carrier Vulture to welcome them. Some people think they deserve a medal, he commented. I can only say it would give me great pleasure to hang one on them. It is expected that the capsule will be brought back to Earth within the next hour.
Well, this is the splashdown area, sir. And the whole fleet is standing by.
Very good of you to come along in person, Prime Minister.
To be perfectly frank and honest and reasonable, Pitkin, as you can imagine, I'm quite glad to get away. George is having one of his funny spells. Got rather overtired at the pub last night and started holding hands with everybody.
Good Lord, I see, sir, yes.
Your department has done a gritty and thrustful job on this space business.
Well, it's very kind of you to say so, sir.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Still, a credit where credit is due, as I always say to the World Bank.
Yes, 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 very, very amusing, sir.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? These two chaps from your department have done very well. I feel we should give them some sort of award, you know. Perhaps even the highest honor of all.
You mean you'd be willing to...
Yes, I'll try and get them on Desert Island Disc.
Far, far too generous, sir. I was thinking of, well, perhaps a book of luncheon vouchers. Between them.
Oh, you may be right, Pickin. What time are they supposed to be splashing down, anyway? I thought it was 1800 hours.
It was, sir. They seem to be late.
Yes. I'm a busy man, Pitkin. Lots to do. Affairs of state and so forth.
Yeah, quite, yes.
I'm having dinner tonight with a cast of Till Death Us Do Part.
I can't understand it, sir.
And neither can I, but Mary tells me it's a comedy program.
No, I mean the capsules, sir. But you, I'd hate to think anything's gone wrong. It's a very valuable piece of equipment.
Quite.
Heaven knows where those two have landed with it.
Well, we're down to. No thanks, Steele.
I'm sorry, one, but you said I could put my feet up.
Yes, but not on the control panel. We turned off all the lights, set the capsule spinning heat shield over exit hatch, and bounced us all the way from Bali to Bermuda.
I think the commander was quite upset. Just before we lost contact, he was starting to cry. Mm. He said a lot of words I'd never heard before.
Technical terms, I expect, you know. Mm. Still, the parachute obviously opened and we're down safely. The question is where?
Well, I can't see out of the portholes. They're under the water.
Now, there's supposed to be an aircraft carrier standing by to pick us up. But they may have a job finding us.
Eh?
Well, I mean, we did get a teeny bit off course when you gestured at the view and knocked down that booster switch.
You mean we might be anywhere in the Atlantic?
Or the Pacific. I wouldn't entirely rule out the Baltic.
We're lost. Alone in the middle of an empty ocean. They'll never find us. We'll just drift on forever like the Flying Scotsman.
Pull yourself together, too. Open the hatch and look out.
Oh, all right.
All right, now, do you see anything, too? A sort of spudge of smoke on the horizon? Any sign of life at all?
Yes, Bunny. Or rather surprising. Hang on, there's a man over there who's going to shout something.
Coming, number five, your time's up!